Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Just one day away from Thanksgiving. It'll be our final show of the week here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you for the next 2 hours here from the Dog Bowl in Berea. We've got a lot to get to here today. We're obviously going to have the Friday forecast here on Wednesday. No show tomorrow for Thanksgiving, and obviously no show on Friday either. So the kid will join us at 1:30. We'll have the Browns Roundtable with Doug Deacon in studio. That's at 2 o'clock. At 2:15, we will carry Mike Pettine's press conference from today here on the show, updating you on all the injuries as the Browns return to work today in preparation for the Buffalo Bills. It is, of course, Call Your Shot Wednesday, since it's the last show of the week. Last week we had a contest for you, and Paul in Akron, Paul Hanna won. He got Isaiah Crowell's 88 yards rushing right there on the dot, and he ended up winning the contest. We're getting that prize together. We're going to get it out to Paul very shortly, and I'll tell you what, we like this, so we're going to do it again. So call us, call your shot, 216-578-0850 for the Browns and the Bills, and today it's going to be Josh Gordon's receiving yards against Buffalo. That will be the contest today. Josh Gordon's receiving yards against the Buffalo Bills. So we want the final score. You got to get the score and the winner right, first of all. Now, if nobody does that, then we will go to, of course, the yardage for the tiebreaker. But that's what we want to see. Whoever gets the score right, or the winning team right, and then gets the yardage for Josh Gordon's receiving yards, that's what we're going to do with Call Our Shot. Now, before we get into everything here today in terms of Call Your Shot, et cetera, et cetera, it is time to go ahead and get into a little bit of news. And that's Josh Gordon did a great interview yesterday with Nate Burleson of the NFL Network, who was wearing quite the jacket, if you saw it. Looked like it was straight out of Coming to America from Zamunda. And it was good. It was an unbelievable jacket that he had on yesterday. But the comment from Josh Gordon basically saying that in his suspension, the thing that kind of, you know, bummed him out was that he felt alienated by some people in the organization when he was suspended for 10 games. And here's what Josh Gordon said. He said, the lowest point of all this, I think, was the disassociation from a lot of friends you thought were close, or you thought were kind of cool with not checking in on you anymore, not hitting you up anymore, not wanting to hang out, as far as even people here with the Browns. I don't want to throw names around, but I could see it. I'm definitely really observant, so I see how people might just be a little more standoffish than they were before. It's kind of like a disease. People, they want to see it. They don't really want to touch it. And I think it's just, in my opinion, you know, obviously, Josh, it's certainly, you know, I could see how he would feel that way. But just knowing my experience with other professional athletes, and I certainly want to get your take on this, Matt, that when a guy gets injured, they often feel the same way, because the show just kind of goes on. And even my friends who are wrestlers, they think, you know, they get injured, they're going to hear from everybody on the road every single day, and they don't. And you have that kind of feeling of alienation when you're not necessarily in the building, in the group anymore. Is this kind of a typical thing you think that Josh Gordon was feeling and sensing?
It definitely is, and it's very true. And everything that you stated, Nathan, is right on tap as well. And there's been a few times where it's happened to me, not me personally, but in a locker room, where a guy comes back from a suspension and or has been, you know, kind of gone and in the or because of an injury. And for those guys also, too, so that everybody knows, like, say a guy goes down with an ACL injury, he's on an entirely different schedule from you. So you're on your work schedule. He's in the building when you're in meetings, then he's only there for 2 hours doing his rehab, and then he's gone, and you're still working your 8, 9, 10-hour day. And also, too, what happens is a lot of the commonalities that you share on a day-to-day work day, they diminish, because, you know, Josh is on his own schedule in this building, and you're on your work schedule. And I think that's also, too, when you look at the rapport of a team, it's sad to think that he came out and said that, but it's very real. And that's what we have to take from this is Josh Gordon's, transparency. But also, too, as you read into those comments, what I thought is, it's like when he talked about the Browns organization, you know, but then he references friends. So he's speaking to about teammates in that locker room, not coaches or management or anybody working for the Cleveland Browns. So it's teammates. But I can see it true where you're busy with the task at hand, preparing in this case for, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and hanging out with Josh or being with Josh kind of deviates you from the task at hand. But that also, too, on the other side of the coin, it's kind of a stretch for me to think that if I hang with Josh and Josh and I play video games when he's, you know, a part of the football team, all of a sudden, because he's not in the locker room with me on a day-to-day basis and participating in practice, then I can't play video games with him or go grab a beer or go grab dinner with him. So it's tough to hear, but again, his transparency, I got to give him props for that.
It's good, and you know, it's listen, I think he's gotten a lot of love in this building. I think that people here have stood by him at times when other organizations might not have stood by him. And obviously, listen, we're just going to be honest about it. If he were not as talented as he is, he would not be in this building anymore.
Not at all.
So I can see it, and I also, you know, I think that there also must be – let me try to see. If you were on this team, isn't there at some point also a little resentment that because he did something – you know, that you might think was selfish knowing the rules that were out there, that he took himself away from you? And as an NFL player, you only have so many years and so many shots to win and be great in this league. And having a guy take himself off the field who is arguably the most talented player on the team, maybe the league, you have to be a little bit bummed out about that too.
You do. You do. And you look back at certain situations in your football season and say, God, would it have been nice to have Josh, you know, just to make that play. And I'm sure Brian Hoyer in some cases is saying that. But and also, too, it's for me as a defensive player, and this goes back to your first question about, you know, how you feel in the locker room. Once the season starts, you know, unless Josh and I hung out in the off season or, you know, maybe hung out and played video games in training camp, once the season starts, you spend so much time offense on one side and defense on the other side that, you know, you really only between, you know, lunch in the afternoon, and unless you're friends with them, you don't really, you know, play friends at all, you know, throughout the day, because it's so business and you're so focused on the defensive side of the ball or the offensive side of the ball. So that in that case, I think in my eyes, it would be an offensively directed quote by Josh, speaking of some of the guys on the offensive side of the ball that disassociated themselves with him in his return.
Yeah, and listen, I know he feels that way, but I also think he's got to see he was certainly very loved up when he returned and got a lot of love in this organization. There is a lot of love for him, and hopefully I think over time, you know, it'll kind of heal all these things. And I get what he was saying, but I just think that's just kind of unfortunately the nature of the beast in professional sports. When a guy is not around as much, you're just not around as much, and there's a
lot
of
sight, out of mind
that have to be going on with business and being focused on what you've got to do going forward there. Other bit of news, which I think is certainly interesting, is that the Washington Redskins have decided to go with Colt McCoy over RG3, and that's a strong statement. You think about where RG3 was a couple of years ago and where he is now. Quite the dramatic fall for him. And, you know, from a Cleveland Browns perspective, A, he's being replaced by Colt McCoy, a former Browns quarterback. B, it was the Shanahans who were really run out of Dodge in Washington by RG3. And, you know, it's interesting when you kind of put it in the context of, okay, you got, you know, RG3 versus the Shanahans, and Kyle and RG3 had their issues. Well, I wonder who made the right decision there in Washington to keep RG3 or to keep the Shanahans, specifically Kyle, because if you look at the job he's done this year, he's been phenomenal. And, of course, RG3 now playing himself out of a job there.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I think also, too, is for me, just to be very critical of how RG3 and who he is as a player is pertinent to the Cleveland Browns, you have to think, when you look at RG3 as a Heisman Trophy winner and you look at Johnny Manziel and the way in which they play, you know, extending the plays, you know, using their feet to continue a drive, a strong arm, but very comfortable outside the pocket. And I think RG3 as the, you know, a extremely high draft pick, number one overall pick, number two overall pick, makes it very difficult to see how, you know, that game transfers over in the long term into today's NFL football game. You know, defenses are just too good, too smart, and those players are too fast that we think, you know, and it was an injury that really led to RG3's demise.
It certainly is. That it has led to his demise, and just shows the NFL that it is definitely a what have you done for me lately league. And that RG3 has struggled to really master the quarterback position. And it just kind of, I'm sure for Kyle Shanahan, I know he would never even say it or admit it, but he's got to feel a little bit vindicated by what's happened there and enjoy the success that he's enjoying here.
Absolutely. And you got to think, since Kyle Shanahan was there, RG3's only gotten more weapons. You know, he's got, you know, DeSean Jackson and you know, Pierre Garçon, you know, getting another year into that offense. And so there's weapons around RG3. So it's not like he's out there doing it for himself. But you're absolutely right. Kyle Shanahan and, his family's got to feel like, you know, and they've got to, you know, throw up some birdies to Dan Snyder as well on his decision to take
a couple one-finger salutes from the Shanahan directed towards the nation's capital.
And you've got 30 years, you know, 30 to 40, maybe even 50 years of coaching experience, you know, on the outs because of one football player, and now that player's on the outs.
And there it is, RG3 sometimes got a little too big for his britches in D.C., and the play's got to back it up. You can be a problem child as long as you're producing in the NFL. And the second that you're not producing, you just become a problem, plain and simple. And that seems to be what has happened there in Washington, D.C. Now, we're going to get into a little bit of our Buffalo Bills preview here on this show. We know it's a Call Your Shot Wednesday, a lot to cram in. So we'll give you a look at this Bills team, tell you what concerns us about this Bills team as well, because this is the best defensive front four in football. So Kyle Shanahan is going to have his hands full figuring this out and solving this riddle. And I think this will be the biggest test of the Browns offensive line that they have seen all season long. And that's going to be a big one there. When we come back, we're going to get to your phone calls, 216-578-0850. We're going to start calling our shots. We're going to start talking about this Bills team, throwing out some information for you about them, who they are on both sides of the ball. A darn good defense. That's who they are. We will talk about that. Take your phone calls. Friday Forecast with the Kid comes your way at 1:30. Doug Deacon on the Browns Roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill at 2. And then Mike Pettine's press conference 2:15. Remember, the hot topics today, Call Your Shot. Give us also Josh Gordon's receiving yards against Buffalo. And then here's one to ponder. If you could invite one Browns coach or player to your Thanksgiving dinner, who are you inviting and why? Matt Wilhelm, that's going to be a fun one. We'll probably hit
yes,
that up
will.
In the Friday Forecast, but you guys can call it. Tell us that when you call as well. When Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns here on ESPN 850 WKNR.